Thank you, Rodney. I do want to turn this evening to well-known verses in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and reading from verse 14 down to verse 21, commonly called the feeding of the 5,000. And as I say, we want to just look at it again this evening, really, for a few moments, a little later on, and really as we tie it in with what I'll be sharing about the work of Coaching for Christ. But Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." We end there at verse 21. We know God will bless his word to our hearts this evening. Thank you. Well, hopefully I'll be able to last through it this evening. Been a lot of medicine this afternoon and soothers and so forth, but we'll see how they go this evening. Do want to say to Rodney a big thank you indeed for the words of welcome. It is great to be able to come and to renew fellowship with you here. And indeed we trust the Lord to richly bless us as we continue to meet here this evening. Said this morning, we do want to thank you indeed for all your prayers for us and the work of Coaching for Christ, for the work of Clonavon, and we do want to thank you as well for your generosity towards the work as a faith-based organization. We just look to the Lord to meet all of our needs. And certainly it's something we've been seeing God doing, as I was referring to it, a number of things this morning, and say we'll be doing so as well this evening. But we do appreciate the way that you stand with us in the work, and we rejoice that through it all, that most of all, that boys and girls and young people and indeed adults have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For that's what it's all about. Football, sport, maybe the tool, but really that's what it is. It's just a tool to getting alongside people and being able to share the good news of the gospel with them. And really, as we as I come this evening and as I think of the work of Coaching for Christ, and really as I think of this passage that I've read this evening, I believe it's a passage that very much speaks into really what has happened over the past sort of 10 and a half, almost 11 years now with the work of Coaching for Christ. It was back in 2005 that really the work was formed. Really formed from nothing, but what we've seen God do is build it up in an amazing way and continue to take it forward. And certainly as we come to the start of a new year, we're very excited about the future. Very excited about the way that things have been going, and excited with the great possibilities that there are for the future. And really it just reminds us of the wonderful truth that that whenever we give what we have, even when it seems so little, that the Lord is able to take it and use it in a mighty way. I wonder what has been the hardest thing, or seemingly hardest thing, that we feel that we have ever been asked to do by God. As we think about it this evening, maybe your mind is running through of some things sometimes when God has asked you to do something. I wonder what was your response. I wonder, did you give yourself to serving the Lord, or did you give to the Lord what the Lord was asking you to give to Him? And the reason I ask that is because whenever we come here to Matthew chapter 14, really, it's a situation that, when I think about it, I often think to myself, I would love to have been there amongst the disciples on that day.
I would love to have been there to see what their reaction was, to see how they responded to a request from the Lord Jesus Christ. The verses that we've read this evening, commonly called the feeding of the 5,000, but actually it's believed that there could have been somewhere maybe in the region of 10 to 15,000 people. There might even have been 20,000 people there on that day. Because in verse 21 it says, they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So there may have been, say, somewhere between 10 and 15,000. And really, as I think about these verses and I think about what we are doing and say, obviously we're in a sports ministry, football especially, and I often think of football illustrations, and I don't know if you were at Windsor Park a couple of months ago. I wasn't there myself, but back a couple of months ago, Northern Ireland, they qualified for the European Championships in France this year. And I know there's a lot of redevelopment work going on at Windsor Park, but there may have been, 11, 12, maybe 13,000 people there. But think of that night and all that had happened. And imagine if you being there, or maybe you were there, you were one of the privileged ones to be there. But really, as it comes towards the end of the match, I would imagine there were a number of things going through people's minds. Number one was, when's the referee going to blow the whistle? Northern Ireland were leading, and if Northern Ireland won the game, that assured them of qualification for the European Championships. And no doubt as it got towards the end of the game, many of the supporters were watching their watches and looking at the clock to see how long was left. And really as it got to the 90th minute, seeing how long was going to be added on and counting it down really and really urging the referee to blow his whistle. But I'd say that wasn't the only thing in people's minds. I would say, obviously, there was the whole excitement of Northern Ireland winning and being assured of qualification. But I would say another thing that was probably on people's minds was, where are we going to get something to eat? You see, it would have been nearly 10 o'clock at night. Many people would have left work, rushed to the ground, maybe got a quick bite to eat on their way into the ground. Maybe that was at maybe it's 6:30, 7 o'clock. But I would say when it came to 10 o'clock, many people were thinking, where are we going to get something to eat? What chippy can we stop at on the way home? Where could we stop at McDonald's or wherever and get something to eat on the way home? But imagine if you were in that crowd and there you were and you were sensing all this was going through the minds of people. I wonder how you would have responded if somebody beside you had said to you this: give everybody something to eat before they leave. I wonder how you would have responded. I would say you would have turned and looked at the person and said, come on now, I hardly have anything. I maybe don't even have anything for myself, let alone for everybody else. I would say we would have looked at them and said, come on now, how do you expect me to do that? But I believe that whenever we look here at Matthew 14, it's very much a similar situation. This massive crowd of people, and what is it Jesus said to his disciples in verse 16? It says, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And really this was a situation where the disciples hadn't come prepared for. It was something that they didn't even have any food for themselves. And I would really love to have seen the faces on the disciples as Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. Looking out on this massive crowd of people, we know in verse 14 it says that he was moved with compassion toward them. But as I said, I'd love to have seen the faces of the disciples. And really what we see is their response in verse 17, where it says, they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know who it was that spoke for the disciples. I don't know if all the disciples were in on this at all, but certainly we know that it was a young lad's lunch. And really it wasn't very, very much. It wasn't even an adult's lunch. It was just a simple lad's lunch. And certainly I know whenever I was growing up and when I went out to school with my lunch was certainly a lot smaller than what my dad would have been having at lunchtime. So it wasn't very much. But what is it we see then, the response of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lovely words in verse 18, and really I believe an encouragement to us here this evening that as we think of the task that has been given to us, in seeking to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And perhaps this evening looking at ourselves and saying, well, Lord, I don't really have anything to give to you. What is it Jesus said whenever the disciples said, well, all we have here is but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 18, he said these words, bring them hither to me. That's not a lovely response from the Lord Jesus. Isn't it lovely that he didn't look at the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and say, well, boys, is that all you've got? What do you expect me to do with that? See, he didn't look at it in that way at all. Instead, what we see is that he looked at it and he looked at them and he said, bring them hither to me. Because you see, that's the encouragement. Whenever we give what we have, even when it seems so little, isn't it amazing how God can take it and use it in a mighty way? 3 things we note very quickly with regards to this. We see that Jesus multiplied what was meager. He multiplied it. It's amazing when you look at it here. It says in verse 20, they did all eat and were filled. See, that's the amazing thing about it all. It wasn't a case where everybody just got a wee crumb or something like that off the bread. What we see is that everybody got a meal. Everybody got enough to fill them. It was all because Jesus multiplied what was meager. And that ought to be a great encouragement to us this evening. Whenever we give ourselves to the Lord, or whenever we give to the Lord, it's absolutely wonderful what the Lord can do with it, and seeing this world satisfied with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He multiplied what was meager. He blessed what was basic. We see that in verse 19. It says he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Is it not that sometimes we think that, well, really we just seek the Lord's blessing on the big things? We just seek the Lord's blessing on the great things that we can give to him. But yet what we see is that even the Lord there, he blessed what was basic. You see, it was a little lad's lunch. It was a basic Galilean ration. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Whenever you looked at it, look at the size of the crowd. It certainly didn't look of any significance whatsoever. And yet what we see is that Jesus, he blessed what was basic. But not only did he multiply what was meager, bless what was basic, but we see also, and this is lovely, and it ought to be an encouragement to us, he gave what was given. What did Jesus give to the people? He gave them the loaves and the fishes. You see, he gave to the people what was given to him. And isn't that a great encouragement to us that even whenever what we have may seem so little, seem so insignificant, that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to take that and use that. There's no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ could have fed the people in that day without the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's the one who created the world. He's the one who created everything out of nothing. He could have produced the food out of nothing. But yet what we see is that he multiplied and he blessed, say this, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that is what he took and he used in a mighty way to satisfy, to fill all the people that were there. Does that not challenge us to want to give more to the Lord? More of our lives? More of what he has given to us, that he would take it, that he would use it. There's no doubt Jesus could reach the world with the gospel without us. But the thing is this, whenever you read God's word, what you see is that he wants to use us. He wants to work through us. He wants us that we be channels of blessing to this great and needy world. And as I say this evening, we ought to be encouraged, but yet challenged as well, and to do what we can to help people be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Really, the reason I mention that this evening, or mention this, really, this evening, is whenever we think of the work of Coaching for Christ, when we think of what God has been doing over the last 10.5 years, certainly it's very much, it ties in with what, with how God has taken really so little. Because the work, as many of you know him, you'll have met him, Stephen, who's there in the front row in the center. From a huckle, Stephen, certainly at the start of the work of Coaching for Christ, felt like this story that he could be put into the story that we have here in Matthew 14. Felt, well, really, what could he give to the Lord? Left school with no qualifications. Never attended Sunday school, never attended church. Wasn't saved until he was 29 years of age. He said the problem was he felt he couldn't do anything for God. Said he couldn't preach. Said he couldn't play a musical instrument. Said he couldn't sing. Said he didn't really know what he could do for the Lord, if he could do anything at all. But yet he had a burden to reach people with the gospel. I was talking to somebody one day, talking to another Christian. I was sharing with him his burden, and the Christian he was talking to asked him a very significant question that really stopped him in his tracks and got him thinking. The person asked Stephen the question, well, how has God made you? Say, that got Stephen thinking. He worked in Michelin. But he said really what his passion was playing and coaching football. And the person said to him, well, why don't you take that and use that for God? Stephen, I know he thought to himself, well, how could God really use it? But he gave it to God. What you see now is so many people involved in the work of Coaching for Christ. There's, 30 coaches there, roughly, in the photograph. In fact, there's about 40 altogether now. Some of the ones that are here this evening were not able to be there that night that we took the photograph back in October time. But there's about 40 coaches involved. And out of that 40, there are 10 of us who are now full-time with Coaching for Christ. And what a blessing it is to be involved in the work. And the reality is we still need many more coaches. We need many more to be involved because really the mission field is absolutely huge. But yet for us in Coaching for Christ, when you look at all of us there, you'd wonder how sometimes when you look at us, how's God using us? But yet when you give it to God, it's amazing what God can do. None of us have ever been professional footballers. None of us have ever coached at a high level and, at a professional level whatsoever. But yet God has just simply taken what we've given to Him and God is using that. And certainly the world that we're in and whenever you're coaching football and coaching young people in football, it is a very competitive world. Because out there are all the other teams that are looking all these young people to go and to play for them. So therefore, we must seek to do it with excellence. We must seek to do it to the glory and to the honor of God, and how we thank God for the way that He's blessing it. And as you see here in Clenavon, for the many that come along, and especially unchurched ones, and how they're hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do continue to pray for our coaches. Pray for many more coaches to be involved in the work. And really, it's been quite an exciting season, but whenever we go back to September, we think of the new season, and it was to bring about a number of new changes. One of the things that we were we changed for the new season was the format of it all. You've heard us talk about development centres, under 13 team. Well, we don't really use those terms very much now. We have split them up into different groups because, as I say, we're competing with what's going on out there and all these other teams looking the young people to go to them. So we had to look at it. We felt that we'd become stale. We needed to freshen things up. We'd lost some of our young people and we wanted that we'd get them back and that we would get more coming along. So what we introduced was the different age groups and many strikers, P1 to P3. And they just play three-a-side football. Now don't be thinking it's a big pitch. Where they expect P1 to P3 running around this massive pitch. It's only a small pitch because the thing is this, if you play 11-a-side at P1 to P3 and say the ball goes into the corner here, well, what you find is that all 22 players would go into the corner as well looking for the ball because they don't understand the whole concept of football. And it's really to teach them that and give them the room to play the ball, to pass the ball. And then they develop with that as they move into the super soccer, which is P4 and P5 at 5-a-side. And then P6 and P7 is the junior championship at 7-a-side. And it's been tremendous how the young people have responded to that. They enjoy it. And then up into what was the under 13 league. Well, it's now called the Youth Premiership. I'm trying to use names that are familiar in the present day, because we hear so much about the premiership in England and so forth. And well, we have our youth premiership, which is divided up into two, the junior premiership and the youth premiership, which is second form. The junior premiership is first form. And again, that has been tremendous. And it's 9-a-side, no longer 11-a-side. And again, it's a format that has worked really well, and of course for the Clonavon team there in the youth premiership and playing 9-a-side, and we see the kids how they've responded really well to that. But not only with the new season was there the new format, but we also introduced a new kit, and this was something that we did give a lot of thought to. We prayed a lot about it for wisdom with regards to it, because in introducing the new kit, it was going to bring about a charge for the parents. Over the years, our work has always been free of charge. The kids, they always come to all the coaching sessions in the different teams, in the different areas, and we never charge anything for that. And whenever they came to the coaching, they would just wear their own kit. And the same again when they come on Saturdays, they come to the matches, the tournaments, they would come in their own kit, and they would either be given bibs or they would be given a top for their game on the Saturday. And we felt that really we needed to look at things to freshen it up. And one of the things we decided was we would introduce this new kit. And felt that it would give a sense of professionalism to it. When you look at the other teams and in society, they all have their own kits, they have their own tracksuits and so forth. And we know that children, they take a lot of pride in that. And we therefore introduced this. And really what we were asking was the parents would buy the red top there and also black shorts and black socks. And that cost them £20 each. And whenever you come to September time, there's always a fear that we had the fear we would lose some kids, because parents have just handed out for school uniforms. Maybe their children go to boys' brigade as well, or girls' brigade, or maybe they're paying for swimming lessons and so many other things. And then for us to be asking for £20 for the top and the shorts and the socks. And then there is the long sleeve top, which would be an extra £20. That was optional. But whenever we got into September, we introduced it to the parents and all. We were pleasantly surprised to see the response. Because in fact, when we thought that we would lose some children, well, actually what has happened is our numbers have soared. Many more children now that are coming along to it. And through the different leagues that we have in the winter time, there's somewhere in the region of just over 400 now who are coming along to those leagues. And we thank God for that, because really, what's it doing? Well, it's given us more children to be able to share the gospel with. Because really, that's what it's all about. It's all about sharing the word of God. And say the children, the kids, they take a great pride now in wearing these tops. And we thank God as well for those who have bought blue tops. In case you were wondering why there was a blue top on it, what we do is that in the under 13 league, the youth premiership, the away team will wear a blue top. And we know that different people have bought these for us. They've sponsored that, and we thank God for that. And to say for the children and the young people, they take great pride in it all. And as to say, we know that they love wearing this. They wear their red tops and all, and to their coaching now in the one night a week. But as to say, really, what it's doing is it's given us more to reach with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only the new season, the new format, the new kit, but something that really we're working on at the minute is that our prayer is that we will be able to give every child, not only in the winter work, in the leagues, but also in the schools that we work into, and the assessment centre, and all the other work that we do over the summertime, that we will be able to give a new testament to every child. Many boys and girls don't have a copy of the Word of God. They don't have a copy of the New Testament. And really, our Bible and Literature Project, we have just simply launched this. There is a leaflet for this that is out on the table in the vestibule. You can avail of it as you leave this evening. But really, what we've been able to do is deal with a publishing company. where the New Testament will be printed. It will have our own cover on the front of it. And then the first 8 pages, we can put into that what we want to. There'll be some information about coaching for Christ, but we'll be putting in then a simple explanation on the way of salvation. We'll be putting in a page for verses for young people to turn to relating to things that concern them. For example, loneliness or bullying or rejection or whatever, where they can turn to verses for help and for encouragement in the New Testament. And we're delighted that that for this project, that for every Bible, it'll cost £1. And that'll ensure that we can give a Bible to every child. And we're also thinking, with regards to the European Championships coming up, that maybe into all the schools that we work, that we'll be able to give maybe a Bible to every young person in the schools, even though we may not coach every young person or child. And to say this project is something the Lord has been blessing. We don't have the Bibles printed yet. We just have to finalize it now in the next week or two, and then really send it off for printing. And hopefully before the end of the season and before the summer, we will have these Bibles or the New Testaments available. And if you would like to give towards that, say the leaflet is in the porchway there in the vestibule, please take that, and you can forward your donation to the office. But as I say, we not only have the work in the winter time, but we also have the work in the summertime. Continue to pray for summer camps. I know that in January, well, it seems we're as far away as ever from the summer and past, and from the summer still to come. But last summer we had a tremendous time. And really what I'm going to do is just show a brief video, and we take about a minute and a half, or so, just highlight really what has happened with our summer camps. There were about 20 summer camps all together, really from Coleraine to Cork. And what a blessing it was, certainly. It was a real joy as we saw many young people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, as I often watch this, as I look at the photographs, as I think of these young people, really what I see is so many who have never heard the gospel before. They're unchurched, but yet they're hearing the gospel, and what a joy that there are those that have responded to the word of God. Many, all the camps really we could talk about, but we don't have time to do that this evening. But really we thank God for the past summer, and we're excited about this coming summer. And indeed, if you'd love to be involved with us, well, there's the camps that we were at last year. We're back to most of them again this year. There'll be one or two new camps. We'll have our schedule out now, God willing, within the next couple of weeks. But we always need people to come and to help us. You don't have to be a qualified coach. If you love the Lord and you've just the desire to get alongside those kids, work alongside us to reach out to them with the gospel through the coaching, well, we would love to have you involved. But do pray for our camps. They last year regularly. We were hearing of ones coming to their faith in the Lord, and that just has been so exciting. We were hearing even last summer of ones who we didn't know about who trusted the Lord the previous summer, and that has been just so exciting. And say that the camps, they all vary in numbers. You go to the likes of Londonderry. Going to Londonderry, we thought to ourselves, well, it'll be a big camp, but even after 2 years, it's still quite a small camp, maybe only 20 to 25 go to it. And then I think of a camp down in Youghal. Colin was with us past summer, down in Youghal in County Cork. It started off, I think, with about 12 to 15 kids. Back in 2009, and the last couple of summers, we've had about 160 to 170 kids coming along. Down in a Roman Catholic community, a place just the size of probably a Huckle or Cullibackie, and just amazing to see so many coming along and hearing the word of God. Do you remember overseas trips? We have quite a number this year, international trips. First one is in a few weeks, going out to India, a team that will be going there. We have other teams this year going to Scotland. There's actually four teams going to Spain. And then there'll be a team, God willing, going to Canada, to southwest Ontario. And then possibly the second week will be just north of Toronto in Ontario as well. And if you'd love to be involved in our camps, we would love you to be involved. So say, if you love the Lord and you want to get out there and reach these kids in different parts of the world, as I say, you'll find more details on our website, or you can get in contact with us, and there, as I say, we'll be able to give you more information relating to it all. Time is gone. I just want to finish off, really, with a short video. One of the things that we've had in the past is our training academy. And I know you've been praying for that. We've had two very successful years with our training academy. It's really a Bible college course, training people to be a sports evangelist. And it has just been a real blessing to us. It's not on this year. We have a break for this year, but God willing, we'll be starting again next September. Be back again next September. What I want to do is just play a short video. You'll hear from those who were in it in the past year, and just what God has been doing in their lives. And as I say, they'll be able to share just a bit about the vision for the work of Coaching for Christ for the future.
So what's our future in Coaching for Christ? We want to see young men and women discipled and risen up. We want to see the young people that we're coaching at the age of 6 and 7 to become young disciples of Christ, who will go out and tell others about Jesus. That's why the Training Academy was started 2 years ago. And we've seen young men, young ladies come out of that to become full-time coaches and to go out and to share the gospel.
My name's Simon. I'm 22 years old.
My name's Andy. I'm 27. I'm from Balgan.
I'm Jess McMaster, I'm 18 years old and I'm from Randallstown.
My name's Lorraine McCaw and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
My name's Paul McCaw, I come from originally Ballymena but I'm currently living in Portland, Oregon.
I just finished Upper Sixth and then I got accepted into Jordanstown to do Human Resource Management, but I felt God calling me to come to the Training Academy.
Well, I was employed for 7 years as an architectural technologist in the architect's office. And I'd actually just received a new job about a month and I felt God calling me to come to this training academy.
I hope to gain experience in teaching children effectively the gospel.
Okay, the training academy for me was a great opportunity to be equipped to fulfill God's plan for my life.
What have I learned so far? There's been so many classes and so much to take in. I think one of the main things that I've learned is that I didn't know it all.
I have learned Spanish, John 3:16 especially, which is a major breakthrough for me, and just to trust God for our every need.
Favourite part would be Fal English, Practical Discipleship. He did prayer, and then he did put on the armour of God, which was very helpful. But they've all been brilliant, but that was the one that challenged me the most.
The favourite part, of course, so far for me has been Counsel. I've really enjoyed Nick Sir coming in and teaching us for Christian counselling and a bit of pastoral care as well. I've also enjoyed the sports ministry settings, and Alan Mason's been fantastic and just doing what he does.
My message would be, if you have an idea in your head, if you feel that God is calling you and you want to get some Bible training behind you and some practical training behind you, just go for it. The academy here is wonderful. It has wonderful modules, wonderful topics that's discussed, wonderful tutors.
Take this place into consideration. It's absolutely, without question, been the best year of my life. I went off to university. I did well at school. Really enjoyed my time there. But this has certainly been the very best of all. I mean, I get to focus on one of my loves, football, and another thing in studying God's word.
You'll be pushed out of your comfort zone a lot, but it is really helpful. And to see not just yourself grow, but the people around you grow, and see how God's working in their lives, and also to see how he's working in my life, has been incredible. And just, I would do it. It's brilliant. Once in a lifetime opportunity.
I do pray for our training academy. So it's not on this year, but God willing, we'll be back again in September. Maybe God's calling you, challenging you to come. When I look at the 2 years that we've had, we have 16 go through the course, and 12 of the 16 are now in full-time Christian work, which has been a real blessing. Not all with Coaching for Christ. You saw Paul and Lorraine McCaw on the video there, and they both left their jobs. They stepped out in faith. They came and they trained with us for the year. They didn't review much on the football side of the coaching or the football side of it all, but focused more so on the whole biblical side. And they're now working with the Lord with Belfast City Mission, looking after a hall in Mayo Street just off the Shankill Road. And they're responsible for that work. And so a number of others that are out involved in other aspects of the Lord's work in other places. And that you could come and say, there's a full-time course. It's Monday to Thursday, 9 o'clock in the morning through to generally about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we are going to make some changes this year. We'll finalise them again just over the next week or two. But for the previous 2 years, normally people, they came in to do a whole year. Generally was September through till the end of August. I think one of the changes we're going to make is just September through till the end of May, and really it's just an option if they want to be involved in our summer camps over the summertime. But that and one or two other changes we'll be making. But if God's challenging you, speaking into your heart, you'd love to be involved, please do get in contact with myself, as I'm responsible for the training academy. Do remember the literature, say our little prayer card, the bookmark, and also the leaf that I mentioned earlier about the Bible Project. There is our prayer card as well for Heather and myself. And as I say, if you'd like to support us in the work, our Project 100 is asking or seeking throughout this year 100 people to support us with £10 a month. So we have no salary whatsoever, as it is with all the full-time workers. And if you'd like to stand with us, you can set it up with the standing order. And the details are on the back of the prayer card. But if you do want to support us, but you'd still like to pray for us, please do take the prayer card and do remember us in prayer. More details on all the different things that I've mentioned, both morning and evening, are on our website. And as I say, you can go on to those, Facebook as well, and you can find out so much more about us. But hopefully that has brought you up to date, has given you a better insight as to what God has been doing as to where we're at and indeed what we're seeking to do with regards to the future. Certainly, as we look back, we give thanks to God. We can truly say it is the Lord's doing, as the psalmist has said, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And we value so much your participation with us, your support for us, for we know that this work wouldn't be possible without people like you. So many people often say you are doing a great work, but we often think to ourselves, well, it can only happen because of people like you. We know ultimately God, but God is working through you as well. As you pray for us, as you support us financially, as you help us, as you do the work here in the Clonavon team. As I say, it's all possible because of so many more that are being involved in the work, and we do want to say a big thank you. 1213, we're going to sing as our closing hymn, 1213 in our hymn book, O Church, arise and put your armour on. Hear the call of Christ our captain, for now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies, an army bold whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. I don't know if it's one that's familiar to everybody, but I think it'll be a tune that you'll be able to catch on to if you're not familiar, I say, with it. We'll sing just verses 2, 3, and 4 of number 1, 2, 1, 3 as we draw our time to a close.